Well, I was thinking about those long car rides as kids and those different things that you would do to try to pass the time, or how my parents tried to get us to, play some games or do something. But my mom was always a fan of getting us to sing. Let's sing something. And I think that's kind of rubbed off a little bit on me. And when we're in the car and Ezra wants to listen to her music, I feel like we've done pretty well. Jessica was talking to me, and she was saying to me, it's great that our daughter knows her songs, and she picks her songs as being a band that many of you probably don't know, but they're a group called Rend Collective, and they're all praise and worship songs. And so it's like, you're doing something right if our daughter's like, that's cool, that's good music, and that's my songs. And so I always get intrigued and excited when she's like, this is what I want you to play, this is what I want to listen to, this is what I want to sing together, And so she's even kind of divided up parts with her brother. Even though Zeke doesn't do much, he does get the ooh-ooh-oohs going pretty good. And so, yeah, so she knows. He gives the ooh-oohs, and she gives the other words that she tries to say. My favorite is there's a song called True North, and Ezzy says, you're my true fourth. I don't know what that is, but I don't know. Maybe he's her 4th of July. I don't know. This is my true fourth, but that's this is really good that's kind of a celebratory time too. It's interesting because even when we sing songs, even sometimes when we're in those dark places and we just don't feel like singing, sometimes there's those songs that just touch our heart the right way. Maybe some of you here, I don't know why, but maybe some of you like to listen to country western songs. I don't want to push down on anybody, right? I'm not making you feel bad. It is what the music that you listen to makes you feel bad, right? So that's right. So it literally is like literally made to make you cry tears, right? I think of singing songs about your dog dying, your house, being destroyed, and your family leaving you. It's really sad, right? But even that brings about some sort of emotion for you. There's something that draws you in. And so it's just interesting how our world has taken on that spirit of something about music to me. One of those great, great musicals. I think probably top tier, maybe top three probably for me, is one called The Sound of Music. There's something about that picture of what music does and how it brings joy or peace or something to your own soul. And I think that's why I drew to this text today that we have as we're traveling with Jesus. Something about it just sang to me. It sounds like songs are happening. And maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm blind and I just see what I want to see when I look at things. But it just sounds like there's loud voices being shared. And so I thought that's interesting. If you've got your Bibles, you can open up with us to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, I'm going to be in verses 11 down through 19. That short little story, maybe some of you have heard this story before. It's very intriguing to me. It's a good one to put in my own heart a lot and think about what I can learn from these characters of what this entails. So if you've got your Bibles, you can go to Luke chapter 17. I'll be starting verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. If you know what we've been doing, we've been talking about Jesus traveling, right? This whole summer, June through August, we're just looking in the Gospel of Luke at the times Jesus travels and what happens on those conversations, right? And so here we are, Jesus is traveling. He's still on his way to Jerusalem. You remember probably 4 or 5 weeks, he set his sights directly on Jerusalem, and then he kind of went all over the place. Yeah, that's still what he's doing. He's just kind of, he's got his eyes set on Jerusalem, but he's just traveling. And so he's traveling between Samaria and Galilee. Now that's very interesting, very important moment right there to think about where Jesus is at this time. He's traveling along the border. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. You hear this? Maybe it's just me, but I hear singing. Praising God in a loud voice, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. By the way, he was a Samaritan. I love that Luke just wants to add that little tidbit of information to you. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Very interesting, isn't it? I love that story, and I think there's some moments that I heard that story as a kid. You know, you talk about, oh, these 10 lepers who come to Jesus, and Jesus heals them, and then, you know, only one of them comes back and says thank you, and that's kind of our lesson that we need to learn. And it's not a bad lesson to be taught. In fact, that is a big part of what I draw from this story myself. But what I really get is another level of stuff that's going on here. I told you before, I feel like there's a lot of loud voices in this, right? There's a lot of shouting, a lot of praising, a lot of things being said, even from a far distance. For these 10 lepers who are gathered, it's not unlike them to gather in groups, by the way. It's interesting that there's Gentile and Samaritan lepers together in this group of 10, right? So there's literally, I said Gentile and Samaritan. That's the same thing. There's Gentile, Samaritans, and Jews as well, right? So pardon me for that. But then there's this group, and it's like they're all gathered together, and they all have this common phrase, common shouting. This is not unlike them. This is what they would be doing. These phrases, by the way, would just be rolling off their tongue by this point. If you think about what the lepers at that time, those who had Hansen's disease nowadays, what they have leprosy, they had a lot of rules about what to do with those who were lepers in their world. Anybody who was a leper had to shout it out in a loud voice from a far away distance, letting everybody know they were coming. They got to go to synagogue, but they had a separate section where they put them in a cage, basically. They had to sit behind that, and to touch a leper was like to touch a dead body for the Jewish people. They would not want to do such a thing. That would be a wrong action. To even be near one. By the way, in all of the Bible, before this time, there's only 2 moments when somebody's healed of leprosy. 2 moments. You think about that moment in Numbers chapter 16, I believe, with Miriam, and she disobeys Moses, and she's upset with him, and so God gives her leprosy, and then she's healed of it after a week later. And she has to stay behind. There's all that stuff. The second one is an interesting one. It's about a commander, a Gentile commander, by the name of Naaman. His story shows up in 2 Kings chapter 5, if you like that sort of thing. Naaman is a commander of an army of Gentiles. The enemy army, okay? I want you to be clear on that. He's the enemy army. He has leprosy. And so what Elijah does is go to him, and he tells him to wash himself in a Jewish pool, and he will be cleansed. And he's healed of his leprosy. God heals the Gentile army's leader. Oh boy. There's all kinds of crazy things when you go into that story, isn't there? But then you get this story. 700 years have gone by now. About 700 years, and we've gotten to this place. Nobody's been healed of leprosy in 700 years. They don't like this disease. The Jewish people are very offended by anybody who has Hansen's disease, right? It's literally like, no, you are an outsider. We don't want you around us. Let alone there's some Samaritans in this group. Another level. Don't even come near me, right? And so it's interesting that we get this story about these 10 lepers all in a group. They're all shouting the same phrase in the group. They're not even shouting, heal us. Do you see they're shouting, have pity on us. Have pity on us. It's the same word we often use, that elios, that means compassion. Have compassion on me. They're crying out for their master and teacher and Lord to have compassion on them. By the way, the word they use for master there is an interesting one. It's not used by any of the Jews when talking about Jesus any other place. It's only used about talking about a Gentile leader, about a master who's of an army in the Gentile ranks. And so they're using that word to call out to Jesus. So clearly, I don't know if they understand who Jesus really is. Obviously, the Samaritan with leprosy couldn't care less. All he sees is, oh, it's a Jewish-like leader. I don't know if I should really even care to call out to him, but he still does. This singing starts with a singing for pity, for compassion. I love the Psalms. Many of you know how much I love the Psalms. We read part of a Psalm every single Sunday here at Wesley because I want to. I hope that's okay with you, right? But there's something about just hearing the crying out of these people in their honest voices to God that brings me to worship. When I think about singing, sometimes it's that singing of just crying out to God. Even if it means you're angry, even if it means you're dealing with sadness and pain, I think God wants you to be honest in worship. I think at that point is the point when you need to be completely yourself, completely open to what God has to say to you and what you have to share with Him. So the crying out here, the singing for a need, is where the singing starts in this story. I've got this need. I've got this going on in my life. I need help. That cry is so overlooked. I feel like even when we come to church, sometimes people want to hide their pain. People want to cover up when they're hurting. I can't think of a better place to come and remove all of your mask than the church. Because what the church should do is wrap their arms around you and say, you're welcome here. We, even if you're hurting, whatever you're going through, we are praying for you. We are lifting you up. We care. We have compassion for what's going on in your life. It's a family. And so that singing for out loud with the pity cry, the screaming for the Master, Jesus, to have pity on them. Jesus sees them. He sees them. His interesting, song is very different. It is a song to say, go to the priest. I don't know. This would be, if this would strike you in any moment or something of being a leper who, I'm crying out for Jesus to have pity, to have compassion upon me. And Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. You'll be cleansed. Maybe you would believe him if you really wanted to, and you'd say, okay, maybe he's right. What happens in their culture, by the way, is the priest is the only one who can tell you whether you're clean or not, whether you can be welcomed back into the worship. That makes sense? So you had to go show yourself to a priest. You had to go anyway. So even if they were cleansed, that would be their first movement, to go to the group of priests. And there usually was a group of priests as well in different parts of the land and in different places in Palestine. And so there they are. They would go and show themselves to the priest. Reveal, hey, I'm no longer dealing with leprosy. I'm no longer unclean. I'm no longer an outsider. Even thinking about this Samaritan, at least there's one Samaritan, go show yourself to a priest, probably would have been like, I don't need to do that. I don't worship the same God as you. I don't do the same things as you, right? So the fact that that Samaritan still says, oh, okay, we as a group, we all agree. Jesus may know what he's talking about. Let's walk together. Let's be on our way. You notice something then, as they were going, they are cleansed. I find that so interesting too. It's not even that Jesus had to touch them. He didn't have to do anything. It literally was just go show yourself to the priest. And as they are going, I like that phrase, as they are going, they're cleansed. They're healed. There's this thought here as we think about if you think of Jesus's calling out, Jesus's message for us, Jesus's heart to say, I want you to go and be faithful. I don't know if that makes sense. I want you to be obedient. That's the word I'm really looking for. And what these lepers have to do is they have to recognize their faith needs to take priority here. And they need to be obedient. They need to respond this way. We believe Jesus when he says this, so let's go. They go. By the way, Jesus, just if you looked a few verses up before, even in Luke chapter 17, Jesus has that wonderful phrase, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you'd be able to command this tree to go into the water, and it would. Jesus has just stated that statement, Luke chapter 17, and then he goes into talking about this, and these guys show up as they're talking and they're traveling, and these guys show up and they're far off, and Jesus says, go. So they go. Their obedience. They're walking in the ways that Jesus wants them to go, okay? He said, go show ourselves to the priest. Let's go show ourselves to the priest. That's what we need to do. And so they do. And as they're going, they're cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And that picture of worship of this Samaritan former leper makes me almost just weep when I ponder the idea of how even somebody so far removed from any kind of relationship with God in the way that they understand it would grasp the importance of gratitude. That gratitude is literally a heartfelt thing. I was just this week reading over some of the Psalms of Thanksgiving, and when I was looking at them, I was drawing on all of this language of deep gratitude, deep thanks. It's one of them I read to you this morning. I praise you, God. I give thanks to you, O Lord. That just rings so true in a lot of those psalmist lives. And there's something about that draws me in. We went to the African Immigrant Ministries, their worship service at our campground on Friday. Oh, it was a truly blessing of an event. Wonderful to see people of all tribes and tongues and nations all gathering together. I just wept. I was so blessed and encouraged. And as I'm seeing these people worship, I didn't understand a word of any song they sang. All of their songs are in Swahili, and they just sing that way. But their praise and worship to God, I was in awe of how they were giving thanks to God, and I just knew it. There was a cry out of praise and thanksgiving that I just don't hear a lot of times in places. I think sometimes we just get used to it. Well, maybe we just, do that. That's what we do. That's how we do things. But to see that happen, it moved something in my own spirit. I thought it was so funny. I was telling Ellie, too. I was this morning that when we went, the worship was supposed to start at 2 o'clock, right? 2 o'clock on the schedule. And so we as a family show up at about 5 minutes till 2 o'clock, right? Something like normal. It gets to be about 2:15, there's nobody in the building. So I look and I see the schedule again, it's 2 o'clock, and I think, what's going on, And it gets to be about 2:30, and people start walking in the doors. And I say something to somebody as they walk in. I said, I thought worship started at 2 o'clock. They said, it does. Okay. It's like almost 3 now. Oh, you have to realize they're on a different time schedule than you. Their worship is totally different. They come whenever they feel like it at that time frame. Oh, so we say around 2 o'clock. So, oh, that's good to know. That's interesting. So they all come together, and what I didn't know is they started their worship on their walk over to the place. They were singing songs as they walk in the doors, and they're clapping their hands and giving praise to God on their journeys, wherever they're coming from. And I just think, man, there's just something profound. Most of these people are from the Congo, and they're worshiping God with their speaking and praising and giving these songs of offering of thanksgiving to God. Some of them have come out of places that we wouldn't even dream. Most of them have lost family members due to murders and ravaging and gangs and all kinds of things that go on in their country. And they've come across here for seeking asylum, and we welcome that. And we say, you're here. You're with us. You worship Jesus. I thought that was just something so amazing and awe-inspiring to my own heart of worship, that I thought, this is what it looks like. This foreigner, Samaritan, this outsider, comes running back to Jesus. He throws himself at Jesus' feet. Can you just picture this? He's crying out in a loud voice, praising God. Dr. Luke writes, giving all glory to God. I love that word for praising in the Greek. It's the word doxazo. We get our song doxology from it. Doxazo, this is about giving glory and praise to Jesus and to God for his infinite worth and wisdom and power and greatness. He throws himself at Jesus' feet. And I just think all of this is the spirit of gratitude. And the song in my heart and the song in the Samaritan's voice is one of true thanks for what he's had to go through. He's been ridiculed I don't know how many times. Even within walking of the border here on this border. and being around Jews and then being a leper to, on top of all of that. And yet, at the same time, he is the one who returns to Jesus. Nobody else. None of the others get it. Or maybe they just think, oh, well, I'm healed. That's awesome. They get to go home, do whatever they're going to do. And I sense in Jesus' heart, his question, a little bit of sadness, a little bit of disappointment. I don't know if you hear that. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner, Jesus says? Except this stranger in our land? This alien? And that's the only one who comes and gives thanks? Did the others miss the point? Miss the entire picture? And so there's something about Jesus saying, even you who are insiders, who should know better, who are the ones who are on the inside, who have this understanding of who Jesus is in the first place. And so they recognize this, and it's like, yeah, why don't they come back? Why don't they give praise and glory to God? Why don't they cry and fall at the feet of Jesus and cry out and give him thanks? Maybe they just thought, well, I'm entitled to this, I guess. I get that because I'm really this type of person. It's that idea of I've got this full-fledged arrogance about who I am because I deserve this. And yet that one who was the stranger, the foreigner, the one who was lost, comes back, and there's another healing that goes on. Do you see the next healing? Jesus says to him, rise and go. Your faith has saved you, has made you well. It's the word sozo, salvation. Saved you. Your faith, your worship, your gratitude, your thanksgiving, you are no longer a foreigner. You are no longer an outsider. You're an insider. You're with me. I have saved you. And Jesus extends his salvation even to this Samaritan former leper. I sit back and I think, well, so what do I need to take from this? What do I learn from it? There's a few things that I recognize about my own walk, about what I need to practice in my own heart. One of those things is crying out for compassion, for repentance of my sins. I'm not saying these guys dealt with sin, that's why they were the way they were, but it represents that what sin does, that disease that it does to us. And to go and to just cry out, God, I need your grace. I need your compassion. And to be honest, in all of those situations, what I'm dealing with, it helps me to think about how I'm singing. Am I singing a song of gratitude when Jesus does what he does? That even if I'm far away from him, I'm not able to get up and touch him, he's not able to come over and touch me, that doesn't matter. That I still sing. Because when he told me to go, I went. And as I was going, I was set free. I was cleansed. I was healed of that which was blocking my way to a relationship with him. So my only response from having that happen to me, that kind of transformation, that kind of shift, of going from being a leper, being one who is disease-ridden, to one who is cleansed from all unrighteousness, the only response I have to that is one to say, thank you. And I chase him down. I go, whatever it takes, I'm going to go find him. Because this man has set me free. So I do whatever I can. I run and I find him and I fall down at his feet and I worship him and I show my gratitude and thanksgiving and praise all to God's glory for what he has done and how he has revealed himself to me on a deeper level. And what Jesus says to me after that, he says, rise up. And then he tells me to go again. Go. And tell the world that you have been made well. That you have been saved. Jesus has the same heart for every one of us. We call it the Great Commission. Go into all the world. Wait, what? Into all of the world. Teach, proclaim, baptize, care for, love on, have compassion on, be merciful to all people. And remember, I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you until the end of the age. My only response at that, even, is to get up and to say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. Help me to share that message with the world. Let's pray. Jesus, our prayer today is a prayer of gratitude, of thanksgiving, celebrating what you've done in our hearts and how you work in our lives. God, we cannot say thank you enough for how much you love us. How much you call all of us to yourself, Father, for healing us, for cleansing us, for all of the things that we have in our lives that need to be cleaned out. And then, Father, for making us whole, giving us life, life more abundant and free, saving us. We praise you and thank you, Jesus. In your precious name we pray.